In 1292, Scotland was under the grip of Edward I of England, who became known as the Hammer of the Scots. It was a maimed and broken country, beaten into submission. But the first signs of life came from a man who was to become known as the people's hero, William Wallace. He was the son of a knight, but he wasn't of the obvious upper classes. He had not been one of those who had claimed power after Alexander's death. But in 1292, he could no longer stomach what he saw around him, and so he began to fight back. He slew the English Sheriff of Lanark, gathered a small band of patriots about him, and started a campaign successfully attacking English garrisons. He proved to be a superb general and a brilliant tactician using unconventional methods, taking English-held castles one after another and gathering more and more men about him. The English Guardian of Scotland, the Earl de Warenne, prepared to march to Stirling to deal with this upstart. Here was Scotland, commanded by an almost unknown guerrilla leader, with a motley rabble around him, and must have seemed no match against de Warenne's large trained army. He set off with his men to crush the Scottish rebels. But Wallace, with brilliant tactical manoeuvring, managed to cut the English in two at Stirling Bridge. The huge army was forced to cross the bridge. It was a fairly marshy area, and there was a causeway on either side, which meant that although great in number, de Warenne's men were ineffective because they were strung out along this stone causeway and across the wooden bridge. The Scots, commanded by Wallace, were on foot and in the marshy ground on either side. The armoured horsemen, the knights, were unable to move off the bridge or causeway for fear of sinking into the bog. And after cutting the army in two, they utterly destroyed it. Wallace was now in control of southern Scotland, but most of the Scottish nobles wouldn't support him. He didn't want the throne for himself. He realised that he wasn't sufficiently high-born. He merely wanted to drive the English out and re-establish the Scottish king, whether it be John Balliol or another. But to do that, he needed a proper army. All he was doing at the moment was being a nuisance to the English. A considerable nuisance, but a nuisance and no more. He needed a full army, and it was the Scottish nobles who had all the trained men-at-arms. But the nobles ignored him. They wouldn't take him seriously. But England's warrior king, Edward I, he did take Wallace seriously. And so, in 1298, he marched up to Scotland with a considerable force in order to settle the issue. The result was inevitable. Wallace and his men were defeated utterly at Falkirk. Wallace himself became an elusive hunted outlaw over the next 7 years, while Edward I continued to hammer Scotland. In 1305, finally, Wallace was betrayed, captured, taken to Westminster for a staged trial, and then hung, drawn, and quartered. Now, if you've often heard that expression but never thought much about it, hanging in those days was not the modern method where you drop a man onto a rope and break his neck. The rope was put around a man's neck and pulled up so that he died slowly. To be drawn meant that the abdomen was cut open, the intestines were pulled out while the man still lived, and they were often boiled in front of him before he died. Quartered, as the word suggests, meant that the body was cut into pieces. Well, Wallace was hung, drawn, and quartered. His head was put on show in London, and the dismembered body was sent up to Scotland to be displayed in four towns as a warning to the people. William Wallace was then, and remains to this day, the people's hero. But after that, in 1305, Edward I must have sat back and considered himself to be truly in control of Scotland. The Scottish king, John Balliol, was imprisoned in England, and the country was firmly in Edward's grip. And he would have seen little threat from among his official Scottish supporters in court in London. But one of them was the young Earl of Carrick, who by heredity possessed a fair claim, amongst all the confusion that there was, at least a fair claim to the Scottish throne. His name was Robert de Bruce. and in 1305, Robert Bruce set in motion a chain of events which was to shape the destiny of his life and to shape the destiny of Scotland. But that's another story.